For more information about Ancient Dragon Zen Gate and Tygon's teaching, please visit us at ancientdragon.org.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. So we've had the privilege of having Shohaku Okumura Roshi here for this weekend. Some of you were here for one or both of the past 2 days, and some of you are here for the first time. So I wanted to say a little bit about Shohaku. He's been talking this weekend, and we'll talk this morning about the wonderful new book that he's written, Realizing Genjo Koan, about one of the most important writings by Eihei Dogen Zenji, the founder of Soto Zen and the kind of Zen we do here. Shohaku and I have had the great privilege of working on translations of Dogen with Shohaku 20 years ago. For a couple of years when I was living in Japan, we translated Dogen's Pure Standards for the Zen Community, Heishingi, and The Wholehearted Way, Dogen's important early text, Bendowa, a little bit before Genjo Koan, with the commentary of, wonderful commentary by Uchiyama Roshi, Shohaku's teacher. And then 10 years ago, when Shohaku was living in San Francisco, we translated over a few years or so the Eheikoroku, Dogen's extensive record. Shohaku has also translated and published other books about Dogen and Zen. They're very valuable. He now leads the Sanshin Zen community based in Bloomington, Indiana. So I'm very happy to have Shohaku here and for Ancient Dragon Zen Gate people to hear his teaching. So thank you, Shohaku.
Thank you very much. On Friday and Saturday, I talked on Genjo Koan. Basically, in this writing of Genjo Koan, Dogen Zenji discuss about what is delusion, what is realization, what is Buddha, what is living beings, and what is practice, and what is life, and what is death, or arriving, arising and perishing. And until yesterday, I talked with the part Dogen discussed about life and delusion and realization, and living beings, and Buddhas. So this morning, I'd like to talk about the section he discussed about arising and perishing, or life and death, or birth and death. That is, if you have this book, chapter 8. Page 109. Let me read that section. Firewood becomes ash. Ash cannot become firewood again. However, we should not view ash as after and firewood as before. We should know that firewood dwells in the Dharma position of firewood and has its own before and after. Although before and after exist, past and future are cut off. Ash stays in the position of ash, with it on before and after, as firewood never becomes firewood again after it has burned to ash. There is no return to living after a person dies. However, in Buddha Dharma, it is an unchanged tradition not to say that life becomes death. Therefore, we call it no arising. It is the established way of Buddha's turning the Dharma wheel, not to say that death becomes life. Therefore, we call it no perishing. Life is a position in time. Death is also a position in time. This is like winter and spring. We don't think that winter becomes spring, and we don't say that spring becomes summer. This is what Dogen said about life and death, or arising and perishing. When we talk about life and death, not we, but Dogen, he talks about this, you know, transition, this moving from our process of being born, living, and dying, or appearing, staying for a while, and disappear. In terms of course, the time. So in order to understand this change is called impermanence in Buddhism. In order to understand this impermanence, we need to understand what is time. You know, this change happens within the time. And Dogen Zenji's idea or insight about time is very kind of unique, and it's kind of different from our common understanding of what time is. Usually we think time flows, time is like a stream that flows from the past to the present moment, and from the present to the future. We think about time, we think about like a river, which, you know, may or may not have the beginning. And constantly flowing from past to the present, and present to the future. And we think this is before and after, this for this present moment. Yesterday was before, and tomorrow is after. That is our common understanding, I think, of time. And that is not wrong, but he said that is not only way we can view, we can think of, or understand about time. When I talk about time, I always talk about my experience, one of my experience. Usually we think, we are living within the framework of time now. My Dharma talk starts at 10:15, and I should finish at certain time because all the entire world, is kind of scheduled based on that time. I one time I find this framework of time, we usually think that is real thing, and our life is based on that time. That, and we make a schedule, and we think what I should do. Maybe I should wake up at certain time, and I should leave home and go somewhere to do something. And we need to return home certain times. That is how we plan our life, our schedule. But one time I found that is a kind of a fiction. It's not a real thing. One time I visited Anchorage, Alaska, from San Francisco. And right before the airplane arriving at Anchorage, the flight attendant made announcement that there's 1 hour life and time difference between San Francisco and Anchorage. So I, you know, tried to change the watch. At that time, I had a question because I flew toward the north. My question was, what time was it at North Pole? And I, logically speaking, I found there's no time. At least two places on this planet. One is North Pole, another is South Pole. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You know, we separate the divided time zone in 24 divisions, and we measure the time. So at least two places in the on this planet, there's no time. So I had a question: why such things happened? And I found that system to measure the time is a fiction. It's a man-made thing. Even though there's no time on the North Pole and the South Pole, I think it's, you know, when a baby is there, if a baby is there on the North Pole, it's changed. And this change is, I think, the process within the time. So I don't think it's true that there's no time on the North Pole, but there's no way to measure the time, at least at the North Pole. So I also thought, if Santa Claus really at the North Pole, within his house, in one room, at the center there's no time. And around the room, he has 24 hours. And when he walks, even as once, he has to change his watch. I think logically this is true. But this is strange. But I think strange thing is that our, you know, kind of man-made fictitious framework of time, that we think that it's a real thing. And our life is really based on that system. So when we really think and try to understand what time is, I think we first need to understand that time we commonly think about is a fiction. I think that is the first thing we need to do to understand what Dogen is talking about time. And this idea, time flows from past to present and present to the future. We only think that is a common sense, but that is also only one idea. one understanding, one view about time. There are different, at least one different view or understanding, both in the West and in the East. They had different time, different idea about times. You know, when I read Saint Augustine, Saint Augustine's Confession, the Western Christian classic. He discussed about time, and he said, when we don't think about time, time is really clear. But when we start to think, what is time? Time is really strange and questionable and difficult to understand. And he said, time flows from future to the present and present to the past. So, opposite direction. And not only St. Augustine, but also one school of Indian Buddhism called Sarvastivadin. In their writing, they also thought time flows or flies from the future to the present and from the present to the past. I think it's possible to think in that way. You know, time is going this way, so we are going that way. Their idea is present is here, present moment is here, and the past moment what is here, and future moment is there, and all they are all existing always. And time flies from future to the present, and from present to the past. That's why we think we are moving to the opposite direction. So time and we are moving opposite direction. That is another view about time. But when I study Dogen, at least there are two more idea or view or insight about time to me. When I study Dogen, of course, the first is time flies from past to the present, present to the future. As he said, when he says, firewood become ash, and we usually think firewood before, ash is after. And he said that is okay. But he said that is not the only way of viewing the time. He said, even though there is a before and after, future, past and future is cut off. Cut off means there is only this present moment. There's no past and no future, because past has already gone, so it's not really there. And the future has not yet come, so it's not only there. Only time really existing is this present moment. This present moment, in this analogy of fire to ash and ash, when the firewood is in the Dharma position of firewood, firewood is just firewood and dwelling or staying at the Dharma position at this moment, this present moment, stays just as a firewood. And as a history, within this moment of firewood, there's a past. That means before firewood became firewood, it was a living trees. And before the trees become a mature trees, you know, it was a seed. So seed sprout and grow gradually and become a matured big tree. And when that tree is cut off and dried, it becomes firewood. So firewood has a past, but all those past has already gone, so it's not really there. And when firewood is burned, it becomes ash, but that is in the future. But the future has not yet come, so future is not there. Only thing is this morning, this moment, as firewood. So, past has already gone, future has not yet come, so they are not there. Only present moment is here. And yet, if we think about this present moment has no length. Right? If even a slightest length is there, then we can still cut off into two. And this part is already gone, and that part it has not yet come. Even when, you know, I say now, when I pronounce now, who is still in the future? And when I say who, now is already gone. So even a little bit, slightest length is there, we can still cut into two. That means present moment is zero. It's simply like a line without any wires. Do you understand? Does it make sense? Then past is not there, future is not there, and present moment is zero. That means there's no such thing called time. Time is also empty. There's no such thing called time. Time disappears. So when we say right now, right here, and this is important, especially in our practice of Zazen, we really just be right now, right here. But when we say right now, this right now has no length. And even also right here as a space, if there is even a little bit as what is it called about the space size, then we can cut it into two. One is here and there. So even here has only position, no size. So even the space also disappeared. There's no such thing called present moment, right now and right here. So when we really be right now, right here, both here and now disappeared. I think logically this is correct. So time, not only time, but space is kind of a very difficult thing to understand, even though commonly we understand space and time. And we think that is true, that is reality in which we are living, but when we start to think more carefully, you know, time disappeared and even a space disappeared. Then we think of right now, right here. But in this present moment, which has no length, is only real moment, because past has already gone and the future has not yet come. And this moment is zero. That is the real reality of the time. So when we practice Zazen, for example, you know, we as a common sense, we think we practice, we sit for a certain period of time, like 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes. And this is kind of a short period of time. And that is how we commonly think. But when we really sit right now, right here, you know, this time disappeared. This is, to me, this is a second view or idea or insight about time in Dogen. That means there's no time in each moment. So we are living moment by moment. That is only reality. And this moment is, in a sense, independent from moment before and moment after. As he said, when firewood stayed at the Dharma position of firewood, that before and after, or past and future are cut off. This is only firewood. And another one, in my understanding of Dogen, another view or understanding of time is, for example, he said in Bendoa, when he discussed about the quality of our Zazen practice called Jijuyo Zanmai, he said, when we sit in this posture, even for a short time, he said, our Zazen is one with each and every beings in entire life, entire time, present, past and present. To me, this is also interesting. This shows another insight about time. That means this moment, which is zero, is one with entire time. Entire time means, you know, for example, from the moment of Big Bang until today, until now, this is one moment. Time doesn't really flow. Because we measure times, we think times is flowing, and because of the changes we can experience, we measure times. We measure times using some unit, like a second, minute, hour, day, a week, a year, or a century. But those times are not there. Those are just the tools we measure the time. So if before human beings appeared in this world and started to measure times, there's no time. It's only simply one moment. So time doesn't fly. Time doesn't move. Time doesn't flow. This is another nature of time. Time flies or flows only from our point of view. Same as I said yesterday or the day before yesterday, meaning or value is the same. There's no such thing called meaning or value before human beings appear in this world. You know, meaning or value or even time start to existing or being within the relation between human beings or us and this world. Before, you know, this is just one moment without any segment. We make the segment using our unit and we measure the time. But there's no such lengths. So, in my understanding of Dogen, there are three kind of time or three kind of view or insight about time. One is, as we commonly think, time flows from past to present, present to the future. And the next, well, time is zero. Right now, right here, only time is this moment, and this moment has no legs. That is second kind of time. And and the third is time which doesn't fly, which doesn't move. So this is almost like a timeless time. And in my understanding, this timeless time, or time which doesn't flow, is called eternity. And when we see time in eternity, when we see time in that way, everything is eternal. Everything is a part of that eternal time. And to me, that fact is called, for example, in the Lotus Sutra, eternal life span of Tathagata. Time doesn't fly. Time doesn't move. And I think, you know, this, our practice of being simply right now, right here, is a gateway or entrance or what they call maybe gateway is best word, I think, from the common understanding, common idea of time to eternity. Within the common understanding of time, time that flows from past to future, everything is impermanent, and that is really true. Everything is always changing. But when we focus or concentrate on one moment, this moment is really one with this eternity. So, impermanence and this moment without length and eternity, that those are three kind of insight in our time. Oh, not insight about the time, to me. And to me, that to understand those three kind of time is important when Dogen discuss about life and death. As we commonly think, you know, in my case, I was born in 1948. So now I'm 62 years old, and I don't know how many years more I live, but I was born at a certain time in the past, and I have been living for 62 years, and I live, I don't know how many years, but I may live a little more and disappear. That is our common understanding of birth, life, and death. Arising, staying for a while, changing, and perishing. This process is called impermanence. Each moment we are different, we are changing. But when we really focus on right now, right here, at this moment, you know, 62 years as a part of my life in the past is not really there anymore. And my future is not yet there anymore, yet. Only moment is this moment. This moment with this body and mind. That is only reality. So I'm not a teenager anymore. I'm 62, that is the condition of my body and mind. But for me, for this moment, this is only reality. You know, my time of being ash is not yet there. I'll be ashes sooner or later. But it's not yet reality. I am here at this moment with this body and mind of this condition. That is only thing here. So when I focus on right now, right here, with this body and mind, you know, this body and mind at this moment become one with eternity. Does it make sense? It is strange things to say. I think it's strange. it not agree with our common way of thinking. But according to Dogen, that is true. We are living eternal life of Buddha. And yet our life is moment by moment changing. And our practice of samadhi, or moment by moment, to live only this moment, right now, right here, this is a gateway from this reality of impermanence to the reality of eternity, eternal life of Buddha. And our practice is this moment by moment. When we sit, we really just sit. The breakfast I ate is already gone. It's, you know, the food is in my stomach, and my stomach is in the process of digesting. And that is only thing happening right now. You know, this is the practice of, you know, concentration, this moment. So firewood is, when firewood, the moment of firewood, being firewood is only thing there. You know, the seed or young trees or mature trees, that was the past of this firewood, are already gone. It's gone, but it's there as a history of the firewood, or in our case, as a memory of my of this person 62 years ago. This entire past is within this moment, within this present moment, as a kind of history or memory. And future is right now, right here, as my kind of a hope or ambition or plan or vision. But they are not really there. But they are part of my life at this moment. So only reality is my life at this moment as a 62 years old person. And when we focus on this moment, we are really one together with all beings within the eternal time, which doesn't flow. When I started to think in this way, I thought this is strange. But when we, at least I think in that way, you know, what Dogen is saying makes sense. I mean, he's talking about our life and death. And he says, firewood become ash. That is our common sense. When firewood is burned, it become ash. And ash cannot become firewood again, so time doesn't flow opposite way. Time flows only one way. We should not view ash as first, as after, and firewood as before. We should know that firewood dwells in the Dharma position of firewood. So only firewood, the living tree is already gone, and the time of ash has not yet come. Only this moment, firewood is there. That means my life as a 62-year-old person is only reality. So there's no way to compare this firewood as other things. But within our mind, we make a story or history that, you know, a seed was sown at a certain point, and it grew gradually through different processes, and yet firewood, that tree was cut, and I became firewood. That is what I think, and create the history or story. And from the story about the past, we expect something in the future. So this flow of time is only creation of our mind, product of our mind, past, present, and future. But as real reality, only reality is this moment of firewood. But because we are human beings and we have brain, and brain functions as thinking, so it's very natural to create such a story. And we study history of the world. That is our life as a human. So that is one part of reality of our life. We create the story, and we are living within the story. And yet, if we put this story aside, that is what we do in our Zazen by letting go of thought. The reality is only this moment. The reason why he says such a thing is when we are alive, we are 100% alive. And this moment of life and next moment, or sometime in the future, as a dead person, never meet each other. But when we think within our mind, life and death, or birth and death, become a dichotomy. And usually we think life is good and death is not good, or life is desirable, death is not desirable. It's kind of natural as our life, because we are living and we are thinking about life, and we have, I think it's natural, we have uncertainty about death. We don't know when we are going to die, and we don't know what happened after our death. So it's very natural for us human beings who have brain to have fear against dying and death. So one of the way we become free from this fear is just be right now, right here. Right now, right here, life is only reality. So actually life and death never meet each other. Life and death is not dichotomy. It becomes dichotomy when we think about it within our story. So when we really focus on right now, right here, we are released from this karmic way of life of based on the story we create in our mind. Then we are one with eternal life or Buddha. So we should know that firewood dwells in the Dharma position of firewood, nothing else, and has it on before and after. Although before and after exist, past and future are cut off only this moment. Ash stayed in the position of ash with its own before and after. And he's talking about life and death. When we are alive, life is only reality. Life never meets with death. So life, we cannot say life is positive, death is negative. Life is only thing. Or when we think of impermanence, for example, when we see those flowers, now flowers are beautiful. And when we see flower blooming, we become happy. But we think, you know, sooner or later those flowers fall down. And we feel sad about the flower. So that is the way we think of impermanence. And we think impermanence is something sad or something negative, something not desirable. But when we see those flowers, flowers is only there. Falling down is not there. But in our mind, we think about the future. And we think everything is impermanent. But at this moment, the flower is only thing there. And when we think about the future, you know, when flowers fall down, that is only happening in our mind. It's not real reality for this moment. So impermanence is also only in our mind. This is analogy of life and death according to Dogen, and he continued to talk about life and death in this section. However, in Buddha Dharma, it is an unchanged tradition not to say that life becomes death, or therefore we call it no arising. It is the established way of Buddha's turning the Dharma wheel, not to say that death becomes life. So that means the time of life, life is only thing there. Life is only reality. When we are dead, we are 100% dead. No matter in whatever condition in our life, even when we are sick, even when we are in the, you know, when we have a almost a near this experience, even we are so close to this, still we are 100% alive. And when we are dead, we are 100% dead. So life and death never meet each other, never be dichotomy as reality. But only within my thinking, life and death is dichotomy. And I think life is positive, death is negative. And I have fear. So important point in our practice is to be right now, right here, at this moment. Then we are released from this common understanding of this flow of time. And we see we are living together with all beings, not only with this moment, but within past and future throughout time. That is why, that was a reason Then we have service. Morning service, morning service, or evening service. Then we chant, after we chant sutras, we, the Doan, recite the dedication, and after that, we chant, in Japanese, Jiho san si isi fu shi son bu san mo ko sa mo ko ho ja holo mi. What is the translation here?
All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, Bodhisattva Mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, Prajnaparamita.
The reason why we chant this very short chanting is, you know, Buddhas in the past, in the present, and in the future, and many other Buddha lands are always here together with us. Not only Buddhas, but also all beings, Bodhisattvas, and all other beings are together with us. And within this practice of Prajnaparamita, as the Heart Sutra said, Prajnaparamita, or wisdom, is something we practice. As it said, Avalokiteshvara fem, practice deeply, practicing Prajnaparamita. So Prajnaparamita is our practice. Our practice of being right now, right here. Then we are really all together with all beings, all Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and all beings in the, throughout time and space. So even though we are alive, he said, we call it no arising. When we are born, there's no arising. When we are dying, there's no perishing. Even when we are born, nothing really born. When we die, nothing really die. Because we are like, as I have been saying, we are like bubbles. Bubbles doesn't really exist. So we cannot say at certain moment bubbles arise, and certain moment bubbles perish. Because there's no such things called a bubble. That, of course, this is from Prajnaparamita, from the point, Prajnaparamita point of view. Nothing really existing. Everything is empty. So bubbles doesn't really existing. So because bubbles doesn't really existing, bubbles actually never arise. And the bubbles never perish. Of course, this is very different from our common way of thinking. But logically speaking, from Buddhist wisdom, that is another view, another way of viewing our life and death. So, unless we really cling to my common understanding, common way of thinking, when we open our hand, we can see our life and death from very different perspective, whether it's helpful or not helpful. And our practice of Prajnaparamita allows us to be released from that kind of common or karmic way of thinking. And he said, life is a position in time. This is also a position in time. This is like winter and spring. We don't think that winter becomes spring, and we don't say that spring becomes summer. Some Americans said, we say it. In English, we say summer, spring becomes summer. But in Japanese, we don't. When it's spring, the only spring. And when summer comes, spring is not there anymore. So entire world is summer. So spring doesn't become summer. I don't know why in English you say summer, spring becomes summer. Anyway, that is my understanding of this section of Genjo Koan about life and death. So he said life and death is there, and in a common understanding, we are born, live for a while, and die as a reality of impermanence. That is not only way we can view the time and life and death. There is another possible way of viewing this reality. And this, how can I say, this understanding that we can see the same reality from very different perspective is, in a sense, our liberation. We don't need to cling to only this point of view. That is another, I think, another important point of our practice. We become flexible. Our mind becomes flexible, as Tendo Nyojo said. The virtue of our zazen is it allows our mind to become flexible. Well, that's what I have to say about this section of Genjo Koan. Any question or comment? Please.
Yeah, I heard this, I read about a year ago, that there's a theory that when the Big Bang, as the universe expanded, mm-hmm. and then it was a result of the Big Bang, mm-hmm. that it's going to contract, and when it contracts, time will go backwards. that's actually a real theory, I think.
Even in the modern physics.
Yeah, it's not really anticipated. Physics, so that didn't work.
That's interesting.
And the second thing I was thinking of is that I've heard before a lot of times that, and I've never figured out where this came from, mm-hmm. that someone will say there's a million sati moments in a second or something like that. But mm-hmm. a lot of the Buddhist philosophers, I don't know where that came from. But can you comment on that? Where does that arise from? Is that my phrase is over?
You mean, I think that about Kshana?
Kshana, yeah.
Yeah. Kshana is the shortest period of time in Buddhist philosophy. And do you know how many kshanas in 1 minute, 1 second? It's something like a 75,000.
I think I'm very bad with numbers, but something like 64,000.
Okay.
Kshana is in a second, something like that.
And it said...
Try and catch one.
Is it one kshana said there is arising, staying for a while, changing and perishing in each moment. So actually it said moment by moment we are born, stay, and change and die. So life and death, in our common understanding, I was born in 84 and living for 62 years, and I may die sooner or later, is only one view. Another view in Buddhism is in each moment, within one kshana, we are born and we are dying. So each moment we are new. That is another point of what Dogen want to say. Each moment we are new, we are fresh. In this book, in that section, I introduce one Japanese priest experience. That was during the World War II. He was a young person, and during the war, he was drafted and he became a soldier, and he was in Siberia when the war was ended. And he lost both of his legs because of the, what we call, ice burning. Frost burning. He cut off both legs underneath his knees. Of course, it was really difficult for him, especially after he went back to Japan. He had to live without legs. And when he, what they call the artificial leg, he had during the training to walk with artificial legs, it was very painful. So he had a really difficult time during the process, but he, when he had to live without legs, and he tried to do many things. But finally, after, I think, several years of that process of suffering, he decided, he made his mind to think that I was born this moment without legs. That was the by this way of thinking, that means he forget about his life in the past with legs. If he compared the condition of his life with legs from before he cut off his legs, and this difficult condition, this is only negative thing when he compared with when he was healthy. But when he decided, I was born this moment without legs, he stopped thinking in that way. You know, in the past he was okay, but now he's not okay. That is one of the idea, way of thinking. But when he decided to say, I was born at this moment without legs, then he could find to something he could do without legs. So he started a completely new life. You know, many of our life is not such painful like his life, but within our life, we have some painful, sad, negative experience. And because of that experience, we often think, I cannot do certain things. But if we think, I'm born at this moment, then we can start a very fresh, new life. This is another point of practice Buddha Dharma, to live moment by moment. We can be fresh, and that way we can be free from our karmic sequence, even though depending upon the condition, of course we cannot do certain things, but we can see our life at this moment as something very fresh, and we can find something we can do. So this is not simply a negative condition. I think that is another meaning of this kind of teaching. Please.
When I go to a therapist, though, or my parents are therapists, so I was raised in that, and so it's this constant, like, bringing up the past to work things out to make me a better person now. So it's hard to think of letting go of the past because I feel like I need to work something out. So I feel like I almost, if I cut it out, then I'm not doing my job or not. It's not denial. It wouldn't be denial, like leaving things in the past, but ignoring maybe, or ignoring things that have happened in the past to work on. But that's just, you know, that's.
I don't think what I'm talking or what Dogen's talking is to ignore the past.
Okay.
The past is there at this moment. Past, future, and past and future are cut off, but past and future are within this moment. So, you know, I cannot do certain things, of course, because of my karma. And is cut off doesn't mean I forget about that karma, but we become kind of liberated from that karma. In order to let go, we need to really see now we are, for example, in our zazen. In order to let go of our thought, our thinking, we have to see, aware of that, the fact that I'm thinking. Unless I aware that I'm thinking, I cannot let go of thinking. So this awareness and let go is one thing. So past is existing at this moment as my memory. But memory is simply a memory. It's not past, it's already gone. So we don't need to be caught up with past, experiences.
If I may add, what you're saying about Genjo Koan and this aspect of time as timeless, to put it that way, there's not really any past or future or present, and yet all of it is here. So in Genjo Koan, I think, but also in Shobo Genzo Uji and his writing about being time, my feeling is that Dogen honors many different ways of seeing time, as you were saying. So it's not that we ignore our karma, but to be informed by this aspect of time that Jacques's been talking about this timeless side, actually can support meeting all of the time and facing our karma right now, even though in some ways it's timeless. So it's a huge topic to talk about Dogen's understanding of time and the practice of that. So I'll talk about this a little more tomorrow evening.
Right. Well, I kind of liked the idea of being able to say, I'll just be born again. but I know it's not that easy either. But I kind of liked that for a minute, and I just wanted to be clear on it.
Please?
Yeah, it just occurred to me as the discussion's gone on that it really kind of validates the no self, because if there's only this moment, mm-hmm. and there's no past, no present, mm-hmm. there's not really a self either.
Right. That is the very basis of Dogen, not only Dogen, but Buddhist discussion.
But it reinforces that.
Yeah.
I'm sort of going to ask the same question as Don, but from the other side, which is that it seems like this just being aware of just this moment and letting that go. I also find, just for me, and it may be that I'm really strange, but I find as I get older, I think more and more about death. Mm-hmm. And as I think more and more about death, it actually makes me happier now because I realize that it's short, mm-hmm. and so I can... it frees me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that seems like a practice that's been useful for me,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't really seem necessarily consistent with the shikantaza or just being present. So Do you see there as being a place for kind of that thinking about death in this practice?
I'm not sure. could you say what, how you think?
Well,
you said you know life is getting closer, and that makes you happy.
Yeah. And this may just be me.
I agree.
But I think that, you know, when I was younger, mm-hmm. I had a lot of fear of death. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time when I was young, my mom saying, well, if I die. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, laughing because, well, we're all going to die, but we tend to want to act as though we're not going to. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times my reaction to death when I was younger was to push away or not think about it or mm-hmm. act out of fear. Mm-hmm. And the more that I think about death just in my daily life, mm-hmm. The more I kind of get comfortable with the idea. And I realize...
idea of death?
Of death.
Dying? Mm-hmm.
And so rather than reacting out of fear, mm-hmm. and I still do, mm-hmm. and believe me, I don't want to die. But it also is a reminder that I have to really enjoy life now because mm-hmm. I only have so much time here. Mm-hmm. And so for me to think about death more often mm-hmm. seems to make my life more rich mm-hmm. and reduces that fear mm-hmm. And the suffering that comes with that.
Yeah. Uchiyama Roshi always said we should really clearly understand we are dying any moment, and that understanding of, in a sense, that is understanding of impermanence. We are sooner or later die. That understanding is really important to live with full attention and awareness of this moment. And so this moment is really important and precious because we may lose any time. So I think it is true that our awareness of dying or death enrich our life at this moment.
So I have a question, a couple points. One is Pradhan's question. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that when you can forget the past, you kind of have worked through some things that you let go when you've worked through some things. And that leads me to yesterday's conversation about letting go of body and mind, mm-hmm. and that's the way to let go of attachments to the senses and the poisons, mm-hmm. being hooked in those. And so I'm always curious about how that works in terms of letting go of body and mind is simply sitting. Mm-hmm. That seems to imply that there we can trust that there's some innate positive wisdom or something that guides us if we can get to it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
I think so. I okay. think so. I think that's the truth.
Okay, that seems like a significant part of philosophy or part of Buddhism.
Yeah, I think basically what Buddha taught and all Buddhist teaching teach us is by seeing really clearly and deeply seeing impermanence and no self, anatma, and interconnectedness, and that is what emptiness means, or shunyata means. By seeing that reality, we are released from suffering within samsara. Or we can find release from samsara, within samsara. Does it make sense?
Yes, and I'm just curious, if we let go, you know, and get closer to that, that there's something natural mechanism happening.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm asking.
Well, letting go is not negation. Of course, when we let go of our thought in our sitting practice, in a sense it's a negation that we don't take any action based on those thought coming and going. But we don't kill those thought. We don't eliminate those thought. We just let go. Let go means let come. let them come and let them go. We don't intervene that flow. So we don't eliminate thinking. In that sense, letting go is acceptance or embracement of those karmic, often deluded thought. And yet we don't take action based on those thought. So letting go is not ignoring the thought. We just let go and we don't interact in any way during zazen. But after we stand up from zazen, we can think about it. Why such thought comes so often? It has some reason. So during zazen we do nothing about those thought coming and going, but later we can think, where this thought come from?
So, speaking of standing up from zazen, thank you very much, Shaw, for being here this weekend with us. There will be an opportunity now. We'll have a reception and tea and cookies and a chance to talk more informally, if you'd like, with Shaw and with each other. So.